What's up and welcome back to Where It All Began. That's right, Kinda Funny's MCU in review, where we rank and review and recap every single entry in the Marvel Studios, Marvel Cinematic Universe. That includes the TV shows and the movies. Of course, today we are talking about the latest of the TV shows, the first ever animated TV show in Marvel Studios history. That is Marvel Studios, What If. Nick, give it to me.
What If?
I hate how it cut out. I hate how it cut out because it made it somehow even nastier and even creepier. That voice you hear, of course, is the producer slash producer Nick Scarpino.
Shazam, Tim. I can't wait to talk about this animated series. Very excited. Liked it a lot. Let's rank it at number one.
It's going to be fun. Going to be a fun conversation. Of course, we also have the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Shazam, Tim. This is what this guy said. Right. Nick, like you just know off. How I to like get, to you know how to get under people's skin. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's the best. Okay, it's good. The best. So this is the crew we have today because, of course, one, Greg Miller has the baby. He's out for the next couple months doing paternity stuff. And Andy Cortez actually had a really cool opportunity for Twitch's Hispanic Heritage Month. They sent him down to L.A. He gets to go watch Dune before any of us. I'm pretty jealous of that.
It's cool, but I'm also holding out for the fact that it was a red herring and he's going to open that hotel room and a giant snake is going to bite him right in the abdomen.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him today, so you never know. Actually, there that's a lie. I did hear from him because he sent me his rankings where he wants this, his thoughts on What If, and of course, Greg Miller did too. So we're going to get a proper ranking in this one. I'm very excited to get to all of that later. I have no idea where that's all going to shake out, so we'll have to wait and see for that. But speaking of Dune, real quick, if you like Kind of Funny content, we will be doing a Dune review on our other show, Screencast, our sister show, as I like to call it, later this week. I want to say Friday. It'll be going up on youtube.com/kindoffunny and the podcast feed for Screencast. Please, if you aren't already subscribed over there, please subscribe to the podcast feed for both Kind of Funny Screencast and Kind of Funny in Review, because each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunny and roosterteeth.com, and like I was just saying, on all of your favorite podcast feeds, just search for Kind of Funny in Review and we'll be right there for you. We come at you twice a week with the latest and greatest in movie franchises, TV franchises, whatever mix that is all becoming in this modern day and age, as it's only going to get more and more confusing. This week we're doing MCU in Review, What If. Later we're going to do a rewatch of Spider-Man 1, where it all began there, the Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi classic, leading into Spider-Man No Way Home later this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I don't know if you boys saw, but as of this morning, the entire MCU slate has been delayed.
Everything. Yeah, I saw that, unfortunately.
Everything.
I did not see that. That's heartbreaking.
Except for Spider-Man and Eternals this year. But Spider-Man, Sony property, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But everything after that shifted back one gaping hole, Nick. In the beginning of next year.
I know.
But don't worry about that.
We had it
later.
Nice while we had it, you know what I mean? This year, this last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say we're not gonna get shows. So
sure. Yeah.
So we'll still be getting a whole bunch of goodness. But next week we are gonna start something that you guys have all been asking for, and that is Ghostbusters in Review. Like I've been saying, Greg Miller is also part of that. He pre-recorded a bunch of things before the baby came. So that's going to start rolling out next week, as well as our return to Edgar Wright in Review for Last Night in Soho that we're going to be reviewing next week. I know. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff happening.
Because Andy has to watch it, and he doesn't like scary things.
I know. I'm pretty excited for him to get spooked. If you want to get the show ad-free, if you want to watch it live as we record it, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule and the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC clan have done. And I am just realizing right now, there's no way that's right. No way, no how. The correct Patreon producers this time are Pranksy and Molecule. So thank you both very, very much for all of
your support. Shout out to those other Patreon producers who have supported us in the past. We love you very much.
And the future Patreon producers that will support us.
We're just thankful. We're just thankful to be here and thankful to our sponsors, MeUndies, HelloFresh, and Uncommon Goods. But I'll talk to you about that later. I don't want to dilly. I don't want to dally. Let's get right into it. Marvel Studios, What If? With the dates of August 11th through October 6th, 2021. 9 episodes ranging from 30 to 37 minutes each. This marks the first animated Marvel Studios project of all time, but not the last. There will be more. We know that What If Season 2 is going to happen. No date on it. Rumors are 2022, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But they have hired a whole bunch of people, so it seems like there's actually going to be like an animated arm of the Marvel Studios team. So yeah, I think we're going to start seeing some more stuff. I'm not sure if I Am Groot is going to be animated or if it's CG or something, but that's going to be a project that's coming out next year or maybe 2 years. I don't know.
I mean, technically, this was CG, right? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm talking more proper live action, proper CG, like, whatever the hell you want to call that. This was created by a man named AC Bradley and directed. Every single episode was directed by Brian Andrews. Brian Andrews contributed to works such as Star Wars Clone Wars, not the Clone Wars, the OG Gendry one. So that's pretty cool.
2D one. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And Samurai Jack, My Life as a Teenage Robot. And I was extremely excited to see he directed many episodes of Jackie Chan Small Adventures.
Okay.
One of the greatest cartoons of all time. I love it a lot. So that's very, very cool. He was also a storyboard artist on pretty much every MCU movie since Iron Man 2. So all the way from Iron Man 2 all the way through with Guardians 1, Guardians 2, all the Avengers movies, including Endgame. So that's pretty damn cool. And like I said, he directed every single episode in this, making his kind of major directorial debut of a major project over many episodes. The music was done by Laura Ann Cartman. And that's all I got for you, because we don't know the budget of the show and there is no box office because it is a TV show. Mm. How do you feel about that, Kev? You look concerned.
Oh, no, I just found something online that I wanted to share with you that has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to share it to you. Great. Right there.
Thank you. I honestly needed to see this today, Kevin. Thank you for that. Listeners, Nick, can you please describe what you're looking at?
In as much detail as possible.
Audio listeners, we are looking at a picture of one Vin Diesel with his arm around a live statue of Groot, and they both have the same vacant look in their eyeballs. It's almost like if you blink, you're like, we're not sure which one of them is live and which one of them is a fake person.
Yeah, you gotta love it. You gotta love it.
The only thing this is missing, Tim, is Paul Walker just kind of ghosted over to the left over his shoulder.
Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Vin Diesel, I love you so much. So normally within review, we go through, we talk about the plot, we go like break down all the stuff, do the podcast from the podcast. We're still going to do much of that. However, since What If is such a different beast, since this is a lot shorter episodes, there's more of them, all that, I kind of wanted to get a lot of the trivia and stuff ahead of it before we even got into our thoughts on it all, because there's some cool stuff here. Now that we know what the show is and we have the understanding that it's a semi-anthology, where it is anthology, but it's also all connected, there's some pretty cool stuff, most of it involving episodes that were scrapped that are potentially going to show up in season 2, or ideas that just aren't going to happen for whatever reason. An episode pitch involving the Guardians of the Galaxy was suggested for the first season, but it was scrapped because James Gunn told them it's too similar to the plot of Guardians 3.
Interesting.
So shit. And then another one, Chadwick Boseman's last Marvel project before his death was this. He was definitely more involved than I think any of us expected him to be, playing the role of T'Challa in many different forms across the multiverse. So I thought that was pretty cool, a nice send-off for him. But a spin-off series for his Star-Lord was planned, but was canceled after Chadwick died. So this is the first ever MCU TV show that was officially canceled that was internally kind of greenlit. So that's interesting.
That's interesting. That's good they did that, though. I feel like
definitely
that was the right call, for sure, as opposed to
definitely the right call. Boys. It's fascinating, though, that they were like, man, this is a character we need to explore so much more that we're going to give him a show. And also, it kind of sets up like, it's the idea that, like, if any of these episodes are popular enough, they might devote like an entire season to them is pretty wild to me. Where it's like, I'm kind of shocked that we, I feel like Captain Carter got a very good reception, and I'm a little bit shocked that she wasn't given, like, we haven't heard anything being like, oh, hey, maybe we'll do a show with this.
Well, I think that was like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. For it, Nick. Go for it.
I was gonna say, but that was one of the first things I remember saying when we watched that first episode, and as we continue through the series, I was like, I would literally watch seasons of any one of these if you just took this. Maybe not Party Thor. I think that joke kind of goes old after a while. But like watching a whole series of Captain Carter or the T'Challa as Star-Lord, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, so what's interesting to me, and I'll talk about this a little more when I talk about my thoughts of What If overall, but I think that going for the Star-Lord storyline and giving it its own series is interesting because space and the cosmic stuff is still one of the areas that is least explored so far in our understanding of the MCU. So I think that could have been an interesting thing to get us as familiar with planets that aren't just nowhere Xandar as we are with New York City. You know Absolutely, what I mean? So yeah. I feel like that could have been an interesting thing. But yes, I agree. It's a good call that they didn't go with it. And Kev, to your point about Captain Carter, I mean, the post-credit scene of this season, like kind of being her, the continuation of her story, I think is signs that we'll see her at the very least in season two, if not that being a tease for her own show. We have Disney Plus Day coming up November 12th. And they're going to be making some announcements there. And knowing that they have the different animation studios going, like, I wouldn't be surprised if a Captain Carter show is announced. So we'll see.
That's very cool.
And then AC Bradley pitched an episode inspired by the comic What If number 10, which featured a timeline where Jane Foster became a female version of Thor after finding Mjolnir. But the idea was rejected after they had the big meeting, and they're like, well, yeah. Thor Love and Thunder is pretty much going to do that. A similar story where they were going to have one where Loki would become worthy and hold Mjolnir, and they're like, well, we have another show where we kind of make Loki the hero, so they didn't do that. And then another one that I thought would be kind of cool is Tony Stark would have teamed up with Pepper and kind of got her in the armor a lot sooner, and they would have explored the galaxy in the style of the Odyssey. But they realized It was like way too big of a story to tell in one episode. Yeah. But it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like hearing these, I kind of like the idea of like they thought of a bunch of shit.
Go ahead, Kev.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I hope that we get more what ifs in the like vein of like, hey, here's a season to play with something. It doesn't even have to be a huge season, like a 4 to 6 episode season of like, what if Peggy becomes Captain America, and it just goes through the story and we see a little bit more, because like I feel like the pacing in a lot of these episodes is so fast that I would have enjoyed to have a little bit more time with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another one that sounds really interesting to me, is I think you guys will vibe with a lot too as fans of the 90s show. There would have been one where Spider-Man turns into an actual spider. But the idea was scrapped because all of the concept art and everything they were going for was just way too dark. And it was way too horror territory that they were going for. And on the flip side of that, there was an episode they were working on that had all the Avengers as dinosaurs, kind of in the vein of the Loki crocodile.
Okay.
You know, where it's like that's, in the multiverse, anybody, you could be anything, like there's versions of you out there, whatever, but it got rejected because they're like, this is just too silly. Ridiculous. Like, it's just not, it's not working. And then another one was going to have Tony exploring his complicated relationship with his father, which would have had Howard appear more often in Tony's life and set Tony on a different path. But ultimately got shafted because there was other episodes that featured Iron Man that ironically ended up not even being part of the season due to pandemic stuff. That was the Gamora Tony episode.
Right.
And then a random fun thing here is I'm unfamiliar with the Rocketeer, Nick. Sure. I know the box art. Do you have any info on what the Rocketeer is?
I remember the movie. It was about a pilot who finds a test rocket that's basically that the Nazis are trying to get in America, and he straps it to his back with a cool little helmet, and he becomes a superhero called the Rocketeer.
So they wanted a
great soundtrack.
Super cool helmet.
Yeah.
Super cool helmet. Super cool helmet.
Yeah, very
cool. So in the original episode of episode one, the Captain Carter one, they wanted the Rocketeer to be with Captain Carter.
That would have been so dope.
Yeah, but then,
dope. I have no idea how that would have worked, but I guess time frame wise, it's World War II, so that would have worked out. But yeah, that's
awesome. Here we go. There's the thumbnail that adds them together. But yeah, Kevin Feige disapproved it because of copyright issues. So
what were the copyright issues? Doesn't Disney own the Rocketeer?
I think it's just one of those weird licensing things where maybe they own the character, but they don't own the rights to have him in animated form or XYZ. I don't know, but it got denied. There was going to be a Captain Marvel episode, but that apparently got pushed to season two. And then just a fun fact here, Michael Douglas, this was his fourth time ever voice acting after Green Eggs and Ham in 2019, a 2011 episode of Phineas and Ferb, and Liberty Kids in 2002.
Bangers. All of them bangers.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job in this one. So
he did a great job in this one. So, and again, and that's what's so special about the series is how many people they were able to get back for it. And even some of the voice actors that weren't the original cast members from the movies did pretty great jobs. But like
there were a fair amount that didn't do.
There's a couple that kind of weren't as good as we want them to be. But again, when you're comparing the voices of like a good actor to Robert Downey Jr., it's a little that's an unfair comparison, unfortunately.
I mean, Andy nails it every time. Every time
it does, you close every your eyes. You're like, is it him? Is it Michael Caine? I don't know.
That's really bad. You guys see that Michael Caine retired from being an actor and then unretired?
Did he unretire?
Really?
He's officially unretired. Yeah. He's like, I didn't retire. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm Michael Caine.
I'm Michael Caine.
So he didn't retire.
He's not retired. It is not retired. Someone tried to retire him and he's like, not today. No, he didn't say that. I can't do it. Give me a Michael Caine, not today.
No, I can't do it.
Oh, that was
the Alzheimer's. Master Wayne. No, today. Master Wayne. Master Wayne. Sure. It's that if you piss someone off. I know, I can't remember the lines.
Nick, I want to start with you. Like, what are your, now that we've kind of sat with it, we did the weekly screencast reactions, so we kind of know all of our gut thoughts on it. But now that we've sat with it, now that the show's over, we kind of know where it's at with the MCU. We're moving on. We got Eternals in like 2 weeks. The premiere of Eternals is actually happening right now as we record this, so that's pretty exciting. I can't wait for every single person to come out and say it's the best movie ever on Twitter, because that's how that always works. But anyways, enough jokes. Nick, what did you think?
I think this is a perfect medium for MCU TV shows. I love animated properties. I've loved animated properties ever since I was growing up in the 80s and 90s. This continues those stories, and I think you can just do more with animated than you can with a lot of live action stuff due to budgetary constraints. And it's not to say that WandaVision and Loki weren't enjoyable, but when I watch those, I can't help but think, man, I wish they had like 20 or 30 more million dollars to throw behind some of these things. Whereas the cartoons, the cartoon medium in general, I just think lends itself so much more to some of these crazier stories. And I really, really enjoyed the What If series overall. I think it's probably my favorite, spoilers for up, when we rank it, I think it's my favorite MCU TV like show, just hands down. I just enjoyed the heck out of this. I'm very hopeful and excited to see season 2. They could literally take any one of these episodes and spin them off into 6 more to 8 more episodes. And I don't think they would outstay their welcome with me at all. Everything you said about all of the episodes that got cut or were denied, minus maybe the one that's a ripoff of Dinosaurs, I would watch. I would watch Pepper and Tony Stark. Maybe not this Tony Stark, but if they got Robert Downey Jr. back for that one, that'd be great to have Gwyneth Paltrow and Tony Stark, like, gallivanting around the galaxy like the Silver Surfer, for Christ's sake, or any of that stuff. And I just think it's a cool way to introduce characters and try some stuff. Very similarly to Star Wars Visions, where yes, some of this stuff it has to sort of fit in canon. Obviously, when you're dealing with What If and you're dealing with all these things, like, you have to basically touch upon the stuff we already understand, right? But you can also have some fun and you can try some shit. You can have T'Challa be Star-Lord, right? You can have Ant-Man's severed head be flying around with the cloak of what do they call it? The Doctor Strange's cloak.
Levitation.
Yeah, levitation. And you can have some fun with that stuff, and it doesn't have to have these like world-altering, canon-altering moments or ramifications. I loved this. It's one of the few things I've watched in a very long time where I'm like, oh, I immediately want more of this on TV.
Kevin Coelho.
When we were watching the first episodes, there were a couple moments where I was like, oh man, this jump that they did, it seems like kind of absurd and like cartoony. And I feel like the more we watched, the more of that kind of was happening. And it kind of takes me out of the moment. I understand that, like, because it's an animation, they can do crazier things. But I felt like so many times they were going, like, they were jumping the shark with whatever they were doing, where it's like, what's an example? Doctor Strange now has got, like, just becoming... so many of the, like, characters seemed so far from who the characters that we know and care about are. So a lot of times there are moments where I'm just kind of like, I don't know that, like, I do think Thanos could have been won over with the argument, but like, I don't like how jokey they're making it with it, with the T'Challa, like, convinced him to stop trying to kill half the universe. So it was just, out of all the shows that we watched, this is definitely not my favorite one, or the series that we've watched that MCU's made. I really want to enjoy it, and like some of the episodes, like I was so certain that I was gonna love, like the zombies one, because I really like the zombies comic line. Mm-hmm. But when I was watching it, it just didn't do it for me. I felt like there were a lot of missed opportunities that they went, and like it's totally okay to create a new story out of an existing thing like the zombies. But I just didn't love where they took it. And I felt like by the end of the season, like every episode was getting a little harder to watch. But once it hit the end, there were some redeeming stuff. And like that's, you know, everything is thrown out at that point, and like they could do whatever they want. So they have some cool moments. But they also have some ridiculous moments that like don't make sense, or it's like, well, if they have Infinity Stones, you could go to another universe and get Infinity Stones and use them against him. There's the, like questions like that get thrown out. Mm-hmm. And another issue I had was the pacing. I feel like a lot of these episodes are hurt because of the like time restraints they have. I kind of wish that maybe have longer episodes, or like more episodes that are more than one part, instead of just being the finale. So like, let us understand how the character we know becomes the character that you're portraying. And then other than that, I thought the animation style was cool. And it like a lot of the things that we see are really cool. And like, it's so cool to see like Hulk facing off of, you know, someone we didn't expect, or Scarlet Witch go, you know, like those moments are cool. And it's nice that like we got him. It's cool that the Watcher exists now in this way. I'm very interested to see the long-term ramifications of what this all means to the MCU. Like, I'm very curious to see if we see, not fallout, but like the MCU as we know it, does this affect it? And will like, are we going to meet the Watcher in somewhere else? Like, I'm curious to see what the long-term ramifications are of this series. I'm definitely still interested for season two, but I'm a little like, each episode lost me a little bit, and at the end they got me back, but we'll go over that more.
Nick.
Go ahead, Nick.
And I can see a lot of those criticisms, right? Like, and that's fair, right? I do think a lot of the stuff was rushed. I do think that some of the action and some of the comedy dipped into a little bit more of the slapstickiness. The one thing I will say is to counter your argument about the characters not feeling like they are our characters, that worked for me only because we are dealing with this what if scenario. We're dealing with these like different alternate realities. And so in my brain, I'm like, this isn't the Thanos we know, right? This is a different Thanos potentially that was maybe a little bit more amicable. I don't know. But I just like that they have a little playground. They can experiment with all that stuff. But I'll agree. Like, I think I wish each one of these episodes, actually, I wish a lot of these were just full length movies. I would have, the Vision storyline in general, I thought is so interesting. And what a cool use of the concept of like, very simply, like, what if Vision was the person that got all the Infinity Stones together? How different would that be? I just, that's terrifying and awesome all at the same time. I'm sorry, not Vision, excuse me, Ultron. That's what I meant to say. That right there to me is just like, why I get so excited for the future of the series is you can do anything. You could actually just keep retelling. Like, if you'd have told me, hey, they're going to retell the Infinity Gem or the Infinity Stones storyline again, I'd be like, I don't know. That's kind of, we've been there, done that. But this is just a new enough and cool enough take on it, and a terrifying take on it. Because like, what's scarier than Thanos? Well, okay, this incredibly smart robot that gets so powerful that he realizes there's like a space between dimensions where there are these super beings called Watchers. Super cool, man. And we see that, and they ended up getting me, especially in that part where he's like, who said that? Right in the second to last episode, and he looks over and he sees the Watcher, and he's like, oh shit, right? It like closes the door, but it can't close that much. There's just nowhere to escape with that. So I think a lot of that stuff worked for me.
Yeah, I feel like this is easily the MCU project that I am most conflicted on, and that it seems like the majority of people are most conflicted on in terms of how much they enjoyed it and what they expected out of it, what they got out of it. And overall, I'd say this is one of my least favorite of the MCU projects, but I still really liked it. And I think that's just a testament to how good and strong the MCU is as a whole. But I really appreciate the ambition of this show. And pretty early on, like the Captain Carter episode, it was pretty by the numbers of, hey, we're just going to have one small tweak to something we're familiar with. But I really liked how every episode kind of would flip its kind of foundation of what type of what if story it was telling. But constantly I was surprised by characters that would show up or locations they would go to or types of magic they would use or like elements that we've been familiarized with throughout the MCU in combinations that I just didn't expect and in ways that showed they know what they're doing. And like they are thinking about this as a Marvel Studios MCU show, not just another Marvel cartoon. It's not just, oh, there's Star-Lord and there's characters that have been in the comics before. These are MCU versions of these characters, even if they're multiverse versions of the characters we know. And, you know, to Kevin's point, I think that it's like, yeah, the character sometimes acting out of character from what we know in line with that is the same thing as Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker, Andrew Garfield, and Peter Parker, Tom Holland, all three of them completely different backstories, but it's like they are all being put into the same multiverse, assumedly, coming up in a couple months, right? And that to me is the type of thing where I'm hesitantly optimistic at where they're at right now, where I think we're just in a really messy point because a lot of these shows aren't coming out in the order and movies aren't coming out in the order that they planned to. So I think that a lot of this multiverse stuff between Loki, Doctor Strange 2, and Spider-Man No Way Home, What If, and all this stuff, I think if the pandemic didn't happen, it'd be a lot simpler and cleaner where certain terms like absolute point and nexus point in the rules that I care so much about would feel a bit more consistent, whereas right now it kind of feels like everyone's playing by the same rule book, but the language they're speaking is a little different. So like that to me is kind of rubbing me the wrong way, that by the time we get to the end of this, it weirdly feels inconsequential, even though everything they're doing is the most consequential thing to just open the MCU into a MCM of like opening the multiverse. And I really appreciate and I think I'm alone in this, like I like the pace of these episodes. I like that it kind of gets in, gets out, allows us to kind of fill in the gaps. Like I don't need to see the whole movie of First Avenger. I know what happens. Like right. I can understand where you're going at. Just show me what's different. Show me the highlights. Show me the greatest hits. And especially when it's going to go into a story that kind of gets everyone together. I don't think they necessarily stuck the landing, but they didn't mess up the landing. And I think that's the biggest problem I have with What If as a whole, is that at the end of the day, it did what I'm looking for from these projects, whether they're movies or TV shows. And that's introduced me to new elements, ideas, and characters that I want to see more of in the MCU. And The Watcher was awesome. Can't wait to see more of him. And even a lot of these variants, I'm interested. I'm interested in Captain Carter. I love that Hayley Atwell could very well portray her in live action in a movie, and that's going to be rad. This idea of this Doctor Strange that is one of the, if not the most powerful being we've seen so far in the MCU next to this Ultron. But even then, the two of them are kind of locked in this thing, battling each other forever. There's a lot of ideas that are really cool. And I love that they swang for the fences with this. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest problem the show has is it's a cool cartoon, but it being Marvel Studios' first cartoon animated project, I think it had to work a little bit more for the people that are shocked that they watch 24 superhero movies and are this invested, because I think this turned a lot of people off. And I'm worried that a lot of people are going to look at the Disney Plus shows and be like, we don't need to watch them. They're not as important as the movies. And like that bums me out, because the more everyone's invested, the more high quality stuff we're going to get, the more everyone's going to care about making sure that the details are nailed. And I can't believe I'm saying this, because I am dude number one that wants shows to be week to week. I like the theorizing. I like the time between to have these conversations. I think What If would have worked a lot better had they done it like Star Wars Visions and just bulk dropped them all at once so that we can kind of work through it. And anytime you're out of frustration, it's like, cool, you just watch the next episode and get a different vibe and then get through them and get to the end. And I think people would be like, oh, they built us something. Whereas this was like, what the fuck are they doing? And I'm sitting here like, The Watcher's getting closer. And like, oh shit, like, Doctor Strange, talk to him and all this stuff. But it's like, it was a little too much of a trickle for what we ended up getting that I think would have been a lot more satisfying watching over a weekend. But
yeah, see, I think for all the, like, for that reason is one of the reasons why I liked it, because at first I was like, oh, cool, this is not going to have world or universal or multidimensional consequences. This is just going to be some cool stories that we talk about, right? And that was one of the reasons why I really, really dug Star Wars Visions. You bring that up, and that's a perfect example of, like, all of those. Now, granted, I think they're going to do some spinoffs with those because they're freaking awesome, and they should do some spinoffs with those. But all those, it's just fun to be in that world and not have to have 23 or 24 movies and two other shows and all this stuff, like, straight in your brain. And I think that's going to be, you know, you mentioned them having to keep everything straight. It's all of this stuff is going to get really complicated. I mean, I'm on week-to-week podcasts, and if I didn't have Tim in my life and Kevin in my life, I'd be like, I'm confused thoroughly with this stuff. Sometimes yeah. It's nice just to have some shit that's like a standalone insular series that you're like, cool, 8 episodes, we're in, we're out. You can watch them again. You can watch them week to week, whatever. You don't have to have, you know, a Wikipedia open every single time to remember who half these characters are. Tim, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I've said a lot over the weekly reviews we did for the show. But what I really value, me talking about how ambitious this is and connecting these characters and stuff, it's reinforcing knowledge that we have of locations and characters and relationships. And seeing Zola come back, I love that, because it's like we've seen him come back in multiple movies. But it's like it just kind of reinforces our familiarity with these concepts and ideas so that they can get a little bit crazier. They can add multiverse. They can add scrolls. They can add like, imagine how insane it's going to be even us to keep up with those variants and scrolls. And it's like all this just needs to make sense for people. I always go back to how years ago, no one would know what Mjolnir is, but now Mjolnir is just a household name. Like, people understand, oh, it's not just, oh, it's Thor's hammer. It's Thor's hammer, and it does this, 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 and this. And I feel like this show kind of did a good job of allowing us to have these brief flashbacks into old things that we already have in our minds. And on top of that, there's the X factor of, but it's different. And that allows people to look at it and be like, oh, I know this character, but they're not acting how I know them, so how they're supposed to be acting. So that even reinforces how they're supposed to be acting in your mind. And I think that there's a value to that.
But I mean, I also feel like that totally, that like all of that kind of weakens things, where it's like, oh, they're acting different. I guess they're acting different because that's the way they're written in this particular variation of the universe.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and it's the same thing with like the idea of the multiverse is worrisome, I think, in my opinion, because it's one of those things where, like, right now, deaths matter. You know what I mean? Like, Iron Man is dead, and it was a huge moment. But if they can pluck Iron Man from another universe that's very, very, very much similar or the same, like they kind of have with Loki, like, even at the end of Loki, like, that those repercussions are kind of worrisome. And like,
I disagree with you, because I feel like that I get your logic about death needs to matter, and when it when it just doesn't, when things can be resurrected, whatever, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's when this things series, get really complicated and bullshitty. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, so far, I think they've done a great job where death doesn't need to be the only stake. And this Loki is not the Loki we had, but we now have this Loki with the history of our Loki dying. And I think that, like, they can't do that with every character, but they did well with him. And I don't expect them to bring back another Iron Man. And if they do, it's not going to be the Robert Downey Jr. Our Iron Man. Like, that Iron Man, he died. His death means something. And there's stakes there tied to that I don't think they're ever going to go back
on. My biggest problem with this series as a whole is the line that they've said a couple times where it's like, anything can happen in the multiverse, where it's like, well, all right, if anything can happen, then I don't know that anything matters. And that's why I like the MCU so much, because we have this continuity that is like so special and important. And I just feel like this show as a whole, just like being able to be like, hey, and in this world, Iron Man is dead and somebody else took his thing, and I don't like the way that, like, it's so hand wavy, and it just doesn't feel like they're taking it seriously.
I mean, I think all them building up the sacred timeline stuff and whether or not that's real in the Loki universe, it is real to us. And the MCU, there is our timeline, whatever you want to ascribe the title of it, 616 or the whatever the fuck numbers, all that shit. It doesn't matter. It's like, we know what we're talking about, that so far there is our timeline and everything else that outside of that's multiverse. And the fact that inevitably we're now about to face this place where the Spider-Man movies, the different universes, the X-Men movies, all that stuff, those are all in the multiverse. I think what if does well is it explains, yes, those all do exist somewhere. They don't need to relate to this, but they can relate to this. But we are still most invested in that one singular timeline. So the, yeah, anything can happen here is hand wavy and can be bad if that was the main universe we're focusing on. But it's just things that are affecting our universe through enemies like Kang and other multiversal things that we'll see inevitably coming up in the rest of phase 4 and 5 and whatever, but we'll see. It's on them. And like right now it's getting confusing. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Is like, I agree with Kevin, like that is a tool that can be wielded poorly. But up until this point, I think they've proven that they kind of have their heads wrapped around how not to abuse that. Right. And I do think that, like, obviously the Iron Man death is one of the most, you know, important and amazing moments in the MCU, and I think it would behoove them to make sure they don't mess with that at all. But also I don't think Robert Downey Jr. wants to come back, right? I think he's going to come back to like some of the voice stuff, but who knows? I don't know. But I trust that they're gonna use that appropriately. But also to Tim's earlier point, right? Like, these stories to me are fun, and I don't need them all to be world ending. I don't need people to be dead to die and stay dead forever. I think it's kind of fun that they can play around with it and bring like make Doctor Strange a bad guy and have some of these different twists on these characters with this one. But I'm also just assuming that there's not a ton of like lasting consequences coming out of the animated property.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how it all shakes out. Before we move on any longer, let me tell you about our sponsors. So I reached out to you guys and Greg and Andy, and I asked everybody to rank the episodes from 1 through 9 of most favorite to least favorite. And I'm pretty interested by the responses. I took all of them, I tallied up the numbers, and I came up with the kind of funny ranking of what we thought of the episodes. And we were all over the place. There was a couple consistencies, but overall, there was only one thing we all agreed on. And that is, What If Thor Was the Only Child was the last one.
Yeah,
that's the only thing we all agreed on. Otherwise, everything was kind of up in the air. I'd say the majority of us thought that episode 8, the second to last episode, What If Ultron Won, was their number one. But yeah, so telling you guys what the order is. At number one, we have What If Ultron Won, episode 8. And number two, we have Episode 3, What If Earth Lost Its Mightiest Heroes?
Interesting.
At number 3, we have Episode 1, Captain Carter. What if she was the first Avenger?
That's fine.
At number 4, What If the Watcher Broke His Oath, the finale.
Cool.
At number 5, Episode 4, Doctor Strange Lost His Heart, which I'm pretty interested in. Like, that's a lot lower than I had it for sure.
I think I had it 3 or 4.
So what's interesting here is the Ultron one, the first one, is demonstrably higher voted than any of the others. Every other one I just named is very, very close in voting, including the next two, where we have number 6, What If T'Challa Became Star-Lord?
Got it.
And tied at number 7, we have What If Killmonger Killed Tony Stark? And What If Zombies, with the exact same amount. And then coming in at the last place, we have by a long shot, with a total of 5 points compared to What If Ultron Won at 41 points, we have Thor, What If He Was an Only Child. So kind of interesting stuff there. Is there anything that stands out there for you guys?
No, that all kind of makes sense. I mean, I can see people's different tastes on stuff like that. I think, where was Zombies ranked?
Zombies is second to last.
Okay, see, I ranked that a little bit higher just because I thought it was a really fun episode, but I understand that it wasn't as like impactful as some of the other ones. That might be the only one that I would maybe argue for a little bit, only because to be honest, I'm just a sucker for a good old fashioned zombie yarn. And you throw in some superheroes and superpowers into this, and I thought it gave me that like getaway vibe of like there's no way they're gonna survive. Then of course the ending of that one I thought was really cool when they show up to Wakanda and zombie Thanos is there with 5 out of the 6 Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
But no, I think for me, Ultron 1 being number one, I thought that was just a really, really cool setup episode for you know, as part one of the 1-2 punch. And it was also, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the first sort of time we're like, oh, okay, this all built into this, right? Like, every single thing was going into this, and we're sort of getting our head wrapped around that. Like, this actually is a series that's playing into a finale, not necessarily one-off episodes, right?
Or was that? I mean, there was hints, but it was definitely the most direct, because the episode, the Party Thor episode, did end with Ultron coming in and the Watcher being confused.
But that was the first time we'd seen Ultron, like with the Infinity Stones, right? So then when it starts off with the next episode and they start alluding to that, you're like, oh, this is a continuation.
It's a direct continuation.
Which is super cool. And that was like, I was like, oh, this is pretty dope. This is a cool, again, it's like, what if all these episodes built into something? What if it was all building toward one big fight? What if, Tim?
Yeah.
Hello, Timney.
Another thing I didn't talk about when I was running through the stats and stuff, but the music, I really appreciate and love the job they did with the music of bringing back the motifs and themes for so many characters, like even themes that we haven't heard for a long time and I didn't expect to hear again, like Killmonger's theme. Mm-hmm. And even when Killmonger was kind of like friends with Tony, and then they did an Avengers theme remix with the Killmonger style, I was like, there's a lot of cool little ideas they did, which again, it just goes back to like, there's a lot of care and trust being put into these projects. And like I said, this one might've been a little bit too ambitious to nail everything.
It's interesting. I'm shocked that you had that reaction to it. Sorry, going back to that, I would have thought you would have been a lot more keen on this. You seem kind of middle of the road on it.
Mm. Well, I just think that it was really good, but yeah. I think that I personally just think that it did not nail the one thing it was most important to, which was being accessible to people and proving its importance as a show that is required viewing. And I still think it's required viewing. I just don't think that it did a good job of expressing that to the audience over 9 weeks.
Interesting.
I think that now that it's all on Disney Plus, I think it'd be let me put it this way. It's going to be a much easier sell for me to talk to Gia's sister, who gave up watching week to week, who was enjoying it, but was kind of like, I'll watch it when I get there, which is not how she's been. Someone who is newly addicted to the MCU. Now I can go to her and be like, hey, it's worth watching. Keep going. And I think she's going to have a really good time.
I do wonder that, right? I wonder if the hit from the get-go had been like, hey, this is all tied into itself. If you had known that from the get-go, because then I would have been super intrigued. Like, how the hell are all these going to be?
I feel like it being revealed that like, oh, they're going to pull one character from every episode. Like, I kind of feel like that's not necessarily enough, because it's like, all right, you get the vibe. Like, this is what, like, this is the main character of this episode. This is how they act.
Sure. I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm also a sucker for, like, rebuilding teams, right? Like, alt versions of the Avengers. I thought that was super cool. But anyway, sorry, back to the list itself. So Doctor Strange was at number 4, right? Is that what that was?
Or
number
3? Yes. Hold on, actually. Let me confirm. Doctor Strange is at number 5.
Oh, number 5. I would have thought that would have been higher. I thought that was a really powerful episode.
It's a really good episode. I think a lot of it comes down to the Doctor Strange story, specifically the first Doctor Strange movie. I don't think really hits with a lot of us.
Well, I mean, the beginning of it is so, it goes by so fast, right? They kind of like, we're to the car crash pretty quickly there, but
I thought we deal with it for the majority of the episode.
The absolute point in time thing where it's like, no matter what, she's going to die, feels so much like suddenly they're changing the rules of time traveling in this universe. And
see, the thing there, Kev, which I've been confused on too, is my understanding now, having talked to people, it's that it's an absolute point in that universe that it has to happen.
Yeah, and I understand that. But and like, I get that it's paradoxically like, he wouldn't become who Doctor Strange, the, you know, magic man.
Sorcerer Supreme. Magic man.
Magic man.
I pulled something. I grabbed whatever I could. Yeah.
El Diablo and the magic man.
He wouldn't have been able to become that unless he got into that accident or if she died. But it's just like, I feel like that breaks what the MCU has already created for time traveling. Like the rules that they set, or at least it didn't do a good enough job explaining things. Like, I wish we had a little bit more exposition in that scene or in that episode to like make things fit right? Because like that's I put that one second to last for me, and that's the biggest reason. Because like I just feel like they're messing around with the rules too much in a way that like it didn't do it for me. It kind of breaks the episode when it's like, oh, I guess he's just stuck in this loop and now he's gonna go further back. That's kind of where I get lost.
My thing with that though is that I feel like we're still at a point that there aren't rules and that it's just the rules from characters' perspectives. So it's like Tilda Swinton, ancient one, like saying her whole thing about the flow of time, like she's responsible for the time stone. So like her views on how it all works and what's important versus what's not important, I think would be very different than like what we see in Loki, where there's multiple facets to play, where one, the time doesn't mean shit where they are. There is no time. It's everything and nothing at once. But then also there is the TVA that's trying, like they have these goals. Those goals have now changed. Like I think that it's confusing because of the order of these things coming out. And I do agree that at the end of the day, it doesn't seem the best right now. And it does seem inconsistent, but I believe that Kevin Feige wouldn't allow that to happen without it eventually being like, okay, here's why though.
See, I understand where Kevin's coming from on this one. I get that they're like, it feels like they're sort of rewriting the rules specifically for time travel, which is something that you kind of have to nail down for your audiences. Otherwise it's going to feel very loosey goosey, but I'm sort of coming at this episode as one of my favorites, just from the sort of thematic relevance of that absolute point, right? They put that stake in the ground and they say, you cannot change this. And it's the thing that destroys the character. And I thought that was such a compelling little one-off story to tell, right? No matter what he tried, no matter how many people he started killing, he could not get past this one point until it cost him everything. And I thought that was a really, really cool kind of journey to be on. Kind of fun, I mean, really messed up journey to be on, right? Like really very dark story. And obviously we see the character itself from the character design getting darker and darker and darker as he looks forward. And what do they call him? The Strange Supreme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I do wish that episode had gone a little bit differently, where it became that he became obsessed with like becoming more powerful and kind of forgets that he's doing all of this to save her.
I think he kind of does though, right? Like he keeps her in mind, but he is obsessed. There is a level of obsession there.
But like the obsession is so that he can fix the time, like the time change. And then he goes back and tries to fix it. And that's when he breaks the whole universe and everything kind of like melts into black.
I mean, don't forget, he also has to kill himself, right? The last person he has to kill is the alternate, or like the broken apart version of him, which is such a screwed up thing to have to do in an episode. But I also love that sort of like, we see that and then we see sort of his redemption arc, which is that he has to now be the gatekeeper or the prison guard to this pocket dimension that he's watching Killmonger and what's the Hydra soldier or the Hydra guy?
Hydra Stomper?
Zola. Yeah. So he's got Zola, and he's got to watch. He's got to watch over them for all eternity as they're like locked in battle, trying to grab those stones. I just think that's a cool little payoff for that whole story, which is like a little redemption arc for him, which is why.
But maybe pluck the stones out of that moment, and then now that both of them don't have the power, you know, then you're not gonna watch them. Just put them in a dark dimension.
I mean, just take the stones away from him.
That's what I'm saying. Just
destroy Zola and be like, cool, we're good. Put Killmonger back where he belongs. I mean, yeah, that's definitely going to be a bigger issue with a lot of these things, is right. As they continue to educate us on all of the rules of this stuff, you do start to wonder, like it does open some plot holey moments. And I think we talked about that a lot, specifically with the last couple episodes. We were like, well, we've seen Thanos snap his fingers and change reality, right? And Thanos is for all intents and purposes, he's very hard to kill, but he is also he's a very intelligent being that's mortal, right?
But they had the brilliant solution in Endgame of being like, hey, they got rid of those stones, right?
Right, but my point was like...
still in the universe, though.
But my point was as we're watching this happen...
Oh, yes.
But the issue that I think we had a little bit toward the last couple episodes was like, we are now... You know, we've watched all these. We're smart enough to understand sort of like how these stones work. And we've seen them work in way different ways. So it's kind of weird that like Avengers could go against Ultron, even with this like spell that Doctor Strange or Strange Supreme has cast on them, and have anywhere close to any like chance of making it out alive. It's kind of ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But that was one disappointing thing. And Tim, you talked about how we had to sort of like, it didn't quite stick the landing. That's the thing that didn't quite stick the landing for me, was that We have that wonderful moment in Infinity War where they go to nowhere and they're like, oh, we beat him. And he goes, no, you didn't. And you start hearing Thanos laugh after Gamora thinks she's killed him. And it's not. He's just altered reality and rolled back time. Whatever they're seeing is just totally different. When you got, yeah, when you, and they turned, yeah, he turned
when
the bubble.
Think about what he did with the reality stone. It's like, Thanos, what the fuck are you doing? Are you Michael Myers in Halloween? You big fan of theatrics? Like, I rewatched Infinity War like last week or so. And like, when you think about what he does with the reality stones, he turns things into butterflies. He turns things into bubbles. He turns them into like slinkies and shit.
It's isn't that perfect that they're all like little dumb trinkets and toys? Yeah,
that's all they are.
You know what I mean? Because whatever. That's all they are to him. But also, like, I don't necessarily think that he is this malicious. Like, obviously, his plan is malicious and destructive. But, like, it's all rooted in, not in his cruelty, but in his, like,
he sees it as mercy,
compassion,
right? He sees it as, like,
his compassion, his love, greater good. Mercy, yeah. Because that's what he did to his own planet, right? Yeah. Titan, he was like, let's do this 50-50, including myself. And they said no, and the Titan falls apart. So, like, that all fits to the character, and, like, that all feels
right. What I'm saying is, though, like, when he used it, it just felt a lot more, like, unbeatable than when Ultron uses it in the final episode of this thing. And I think that was an issue for me going in. I'm like, I should feel like there's no way they're going to win. And I thought it was so – just that moment at the end of Endgame was so clever that I'm like, you can't possibly get close to that. And I just feel like it was a bit of a letdown when they inevitably beat Ultron. Even though it was kind of clever, he's like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen the whole time. And you're like, oh, cool. That was pretty cool. Like, he kind of understood what was going on. Watch, I was like, I get it. This is what has to happen, kind of playing the chess pieces as they lie. Mm-hmm. I still felt like it wasn't – I still felt like – part of me was like, why doesn't Ultron just snap his fingers and blink him out of existence?
Yeah,
I
mean,
don't understand why he can't do that.
That's
like
the
he's
reality.
Smart enough. He's a hyper smart intel like AI that's like getting exponentially better and smarter at this thing. You don't think he would have figured out, boom, everything's gone. He just snaps everything out of existence.
At one point, doesn't he kind of create an explosion that implies like destroys the galaxy?
Yeah.
And then they cut back to them, and it's one of those things. What?
A galaxy, because that's during the scene where they're like being cut through.
But like the fact that like we can just be like, yeah, a galaxy is just kind of like, all right, well, so it doesn't matter how big the explosion was. Their magic armor suits protected them from it. You know what I mean? So it could have been a bedroom size explosion and it would have done the same effect.
I'm okay with all of that. I don't love it. I don't love how this all came together, and I wish that it was cleaner, and I wish that I enjoyed the way that they did it more than I actually did. I like and think that it works how they did this, because we don't know all the rules of how these stones work in different universes. It's not the comics. This is the MCU version telling of these stories. And with what we saw in Loki of like, cool, they're paperweights in the TVA, in this place outside of time and all that, like, cool. That can affect these differently. We don't know how these stones work when they're in other universes. We don't know that, like, Ultron, no matter how smart he is, if he has the knowledge of how to use them all correctly, he's rapidly learning how to do all this stuff. But we see him going through the, like, breaking as he's fighting the Watcher into all of these different universes and timelines and, like, moments and whatever, and it's affecting those differently. So it's like, where they end up with Strange in particular, like, kind of becoming this ridiculously OP character that we see throughout his episode and kind of like destroying all the different beasts and stuff. It's like, that is something we don't know. We don't know how powerful he is compared to even all of the stones. So it's like him having the shields and stuff, they set it up that he is ridiculously powerful. And that's on top of Doctor Strange, somebody we already know has ridiculous magic power. So it's like, I think that at the end of the day, I just said a lot of things to make it really simple. I don't like how OP they made everybody in the final fight, because it just made it all too much. But I think they did play by their own rules enough, and it was OP versus OP. So I am okay with them. Like, well, why didn't they just do this with the stones or whatever? It's like, well, Doctor Strange could counter that because he's Strange Supreme and like he is fucking ridiculously powerful. And we don't know how the stones work in these different universes and stuff. And I imagine one day we'll get into that.
And he does lose, right? You know, you see that moment where all of his spells start to just sort of like rip off of people as Ultron's kind of powering up. So that does work as well. It's just like, there's the flip side of that also, which was I think it was in the episode prior where it's What If Ultron won, where we do see Thanos and he's got all the Infinity Stones except for the Mind Stone. And he just goes and just bisects him. You're like, oh shit. Yeah. Like that was easy to do, which I thought was actually really, really cool. I was like, that was not, because I was thinking, oh, it's going to be so interesting to watch him go against Thanos. And you're like, nope, that was a nice, an actual cool subversion of expectations.
And what's cool with that is like, even just following the logic of just what we've seen of the stones, which granted, despite these stones being in so many of these movies, we don't see them much. Like, it's essentially Infinity War and a little bit in Endgame that we see them actually used, especially in tandem with each other. And oftentimes we see the color glow of, like, obviously the green for time or like the purple for power and all that. We'll see the Mind Stone being like worked with in tandem with some of the other things, which allows the Mind Stone kind of allows them to do the snap, you know. Yeah, it allows them to use all the stones together. It's like, and I think that that's kind of the interesting thing
somewhat.
So it's like you need all of them and you need the Mind Stone to be able to control all the stones together. And even then, like the different characters we've seen. I'm just saying, I think that that would make sense for how they place this. Yeah, I'm just like that. There's, like I said, there's not much evidence in these things. But like what we've seen of how they're using him in tandem, why wasn't he just using all the stones at all time? That's a good reason why. You know, like that. And that from there's been now a couple times where that would have made sense where all the stones are only being used when the Mind Stone's being used, whereas all the other stones we're seeing kind of in different tandems with each other. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Mind Stone's usually powering Vision.
Right.
Unless Vision's dead for the 10th time.
Ugh, poor Paul Bettany. What's he going to do?
What is he going to do? I don't know. This has been a great talk. I love this. I love talking about all this stuff.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are all lukewarm on this series. Look at it. We could wax poetic on all these episodes for hours on end.
The fact that, like...
you guys are like, what happened at the end of Loki? Who cares? That's what I'm saying now. What if Loki, number one?
That's the thing. I think each one of these shows that we've seen so far, their ending has, like, a purpose. Like, right? I mean, the first Winter Soldier... No. Captain America and Falcon is? No. God, I'm so close.
Falcon?
Winter Soldier and Falcon.
The Winter Soldier.
There it is. Close. At the end of that... we created a new Captain America. Like, we walk away from him, we're like, that's Captain America. At the end of WandaVision, Wanda is walking out and, like, is now...
She has the Darkhold.
What's a Darkhold, Tim?
It's like milk chocolate, but dark chocolate.
Nice.
Okay. Magic book.
Got the Darkhold. Okay. Yeah. I was joking. Jesus but Christ. She's on a journey to find her kids, it seems like, right? Or at least... has an understanding of magic and wants to take that. Sorry, Cecil's losing his shit. Paula walked by and caught his attention, and
he's chasing insane. His tail right now.
Yeah, he's chasing his tail. Yeah, and then what? What's the? And then Loki obviously introduced Kang, and there's another season coming, so there's more story. This I just don't get what if comes out of.
Well, that's the thing. I don't necessarily think there needs to be, right. But that's also.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Look at how.
I think
look
there
at
is. How, the Watcher, right? The Watcher now kind of is, he broke his oath. He's interacting with different universes. It's like the multiverse is now broken open in a different way. We have the Guardians of the Multiverse.
These are all things that lead, that have an impact on the MCU.
Yes, but proper. I would argue they're unnecessary, right? So that's what's so interesting about this, right? Is like, at the end, when's the last time we saw Sam and Bucky and the Shield in the MCU, in the cinematic universe, right? Who does he hand? He hands the Shield over to Sam, right? And Sam's like, I don't know about this, right? And that's the last time we see him. So if they had just picked it up with Sam being the new Captain America, they would not have needed too much more setup for that. What's cool about a lot of this stuff is they're filling in.
The same jump we see from Iron Man, the end of Iron Man 3 to Infinity War? Is that what it is? Where he's got Age of Ultron, where he's once again in Iron Man. And we're like, that's weird. In the last movie, at the end of it, he's giving up Iron Man. And now he's back. You know what I mean? Like, there's a gap there that doesn't.
But again, those are easily explained, right? You don't need 8 hours to explain why the guy
that's Iron Man. But I think that's one of the reasons.
Who's Iron Man again, right? What I'm saying is a lot of these series are cool, but they are ultimately unnecessary. They're entertaining, and I'm glad they exist. And they serve, in my opinion, to fill a fun area where they're sort of filling in some of these details that don't need to be filled in. I don't need to necessarily see Sam struggle and grapple with the idea of being Captain America for 8 episodes. It's great, and I thought it was good storytelling, and it fleshes out his character more. But I already love Sam, and I want him to be Captain America. So they could have literally started the next movie with him as Captain America and had a few lines of dialogue of him like getting used to the suit, and I think it still would have worked. I'm glad that they're using these series to sort of like back up cool stuff for the MCU, but I don't think in the brain of Kevin Feige, he's like, the series are going to be as important as the movies. I think the movies are always going to take precedent.
I don't know, man. I hope that's definitely the way they're seeing stuff. I mean,
they're definitely not, right? Because like the movies make billions of dollars and the series don't necessarily do that. So the movies are always going to be more important until that revenue.
Yeah, but the movies cost like an absurd amount of money to make. Some of the shows have cost a lot of money. I'm not entirely sure. Like, what I think that Loki was probably the most expensive one, right?
Right, but the same with Loki, right? Like, Loki exists to introduce the concept of the multiverse in Kang, but that's not something that we need that much time.
Any argument you're making here, you can apply to any of the movies as well.
Yeah, of course. What I'm saying is, you guys are saying all these shows have to have world-ending consequences, and I'm not saying they have to have world-ending.
I'm saying that they grow the MCU. Like, now we understand Kang in a way that we wouldn't have understood him if he was just introduced in, what, the Multiverse of Madness? Ant-Man. No, the other one, Ant-Man, that's right.
Quantum of Solace.
I think, but do we, right?
Quantumania, that's it.
But, I mean, again, not to disagree with you, but Kang for 20 minutes in one of the episodes?
I mean, he's, like, a complex-ass character is what we're going to get.
But we
like,
talked about him for 20 minutes of the last episode, right? We didn't even know Kang was a character in this until the very last episode of Loki. So, like, I think a lot of these things are tricking us into believing that these are incredibly important when we're only really getting, like, a little bit of nugget of something that goes to back up what's going to happen in the larger
series. But I guess that, like, that's the case. Like, after I'm done watching this stuff, I go and then try to do research about the characters. Like,
of course you do. Average Joe Blow viewer that's going to go watch these in the movie theaters.
No, but they're going to watch our YouTube videos. A bunch of them are going to watch YouTube videos that will explain the stuff that we're talking about. You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe, or they'll just go into the movies and they'll just watch that part where the character goes, that's Kane the Conqueror. He's this, this, and this. And they go, okay, cool.
You're right. Like, but the complexity of the MCU isn't being made for those viewers, you know what I mean? I mean,
I'm not saying these are bad series. I'm saying they're doing a very smart job of hedging their bets, right? They're giving us a lot more detail. It's like reading a compendium to the movies is how I view some of these series, right? I don't ultimately think that you need to watch the Loki series to understand who Kang is. I think they'll still have to set that up a little bit in the movies when Kang is introduced in the Multiverse of Magic. Doctor Strange is going to have to be like, I've never encountered this person before. Who is he? And someone's going to have to explain who it is, right? And they're going to, and thus, by virtue of that, explain it to the audience members that maybe didn't watch Loki or don't have a Disney Plus subscription but still want to take their family to go see these movies. So it's cool that they are able to make these series, but they also have to make sure that they're hedging their bets and they're going to introduce these characters properly in the overarching timeline of the movies themselves.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
We'll have to see. I think that it's just rough now because of all the pandemic stuff and orders, and like Falcon Winter Soldier was not the show it should have been. WandaVision was not the show it should have been. By all accounts, Loki was the show it should have been. So I'm expecting us to get more Lokis in the future, hopefully. But the future is so far away. Nick, can you hit me with haiku and review, please?
7 syllables in the middle. You got 5 for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to sweat it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. I said haiku in review. What? Haiku in review. Everybody now rhyme.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your reviews in haiku form, just like Andrew Feisner did. The biggest mixed bag. Pieces not in good order. What a jumbled mess.
Okay, okay.
Samuel Griffin saying, what if's pitch meeting? Let's kill Tony Stark for fun. Just kidding. Unless.
What if?
That was good. And then we got Z-Pole. Saying, you can see what if the Watcher stopped just watching to save everything. So there we go. What if I couldn't review?
Cool.
Promise, say it. We're not going to do a Ragu Bagu. Ultron. Ultron.
I don't have the full list of
votes. I am going to find it for you guys. I don't have the vote, but I think that we'll all.
I thought he was. We'll I thought he was. While you're finding that, I will say I thought it was a compelling villain. I thought he was very interesting. I'm fascinated by. If you would have told me, hey, we're going to do a story where Ultron gets the Infinity Stones, I'd be like, that is a terrifying and cool concept to play around with. I don't 100% think they stuck the landing, and it's unfortunate they couldn't get Spader back for it. But everyone was hard on this voice actor that did Ultron. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he brought just a different style to it, a different tone to it, and it was kind of straightforward. It's almost like the guy played it like it's a foregone conclusion that Ultron's going to win, which sounds like I'm being negative on it, but that's I don't mean it in that way. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I also didn't have an issue with his voice. I just wished it was Spader. Like, I feel that would have.
Spader's got such an iconic, classic voice, right? He's up there with a lot of the other great voice actors of the day, or voices of the day.
Yeah. I enjoyed him a lot. I thought that the fight scenes he was in were fantastic. I thought that there was a lot of like spectacle, really cool uses of the stones. I thought his story was very engaging. I was in it the entire way through. I think it got a little too OP. The fights got a little too grandiose and big and like a little too heady of like, what is happening right now? And it kind of lost me there. And at the end of the day, I just think that we didn't get enough time throughout the series building up just the villains. Having the two episodes was nice, but I do think episode 8 was much better than episode 9. But having said that, I still think I would rank him pretty high. I mean, I'd rank him higher than OG Ultron.
Oh, me too.
Well, I mean, too. I don't think I'd go higher than B.
So yeah, let's see where we even want to start here. We have the S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier going from there.
Let's go. We'll start at the A tier. I don't think he's going to be S tier.
Definitely not S tier. I agree. A tier starts with He Who Remains from Loki/the TVA, and then ends with Mysterio from Far From Home.
Ugh. Yeah, he's like Mysterio's definitely better than him, right? What is B tier?
Then B tier starts. With Baconator from First Class and ends with Ultron from Ultron.
Ultron.
I think it's above Ultron. I mean,
yeah, so I definitely think it's B tier, right?
I mean, I would argue. I could argue.
I could argue for A.
That. I think he's a much more compelling villain than Mysterio. Not Mystique. Sorry, Mysterio. Yeah. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I thought that was cool, but I mean, I thought the concept behind this and his motivations were fascinating and terrifying.
I think he was able to find
a multidimensional pocket where the Watcher is hiding in and break through and kill him is cool.
He just found it because, like, what? The computer got, like, I don't even know like how
that's
he found
Ultron's
it.
That's Ultron's thing, though. So
he just had five stones, and that made it so he could magically, for convenience sake, hear the Watcher. You know? Like what? I don't know what the... Like, to me, he's so OP and yet so, like, stupid about what he's doing with his powers. That it just not ranking very high.
I mean, I guess it depends on your touchstone for like what makes a good villain, right? But like at a certain point in the series, I was like, it gave me that feeling when you were a kid and you're watching like a horror movie of like the bad guy, like you can't get away from it. And I got that feeling when I was watching What If Voltron Won. I got that feeling when they're fighting. I'm like, there's no way they can beat this guy. And I think that's a really cool accomplishment. I think that speaks to the setup of the character, and I think the acting of the character is there. And you have that when you're filled with it for a second, that feeling of dread of like, oh no, I'm really these characters that I love, the protagonists are in like mortal peril right now. I think that's pretty cool. And I think that's a sign of a good, like good old fashioned bad guy.
There's no way I could put it above Mysterio, mainly because I loved like they made Mysterio cool. Mysterio was one of the villains that he's awesome, but it's like even just the scene of him fucking with Peter with like the snow globe and the zombie Stark and all that. That's one of my favorite scenes in the MCU. Period. I like that at the end of the day, Mysterio wins. The movie ends with him exposing Peter Parker, like making it look like he's a murderer. Like I think there's a lot of really cool stuff there. So I can't go that high. So
that's right below
B tier. If me and Kev win that out. So he'll be in B tier somewhere unless he's even lower. But I say he's B.
I could see him being top of B tier.
So that's my thing.
Baconator from First Class.
Let me read these to you guys. Yeah. Let me read these to you and see if you think that he is better than all of them.
Oh my God. I thought you said Bacon Guy. Greg is insane.
I know. Yeah. This is, to be clear, Kevin Bacon in First Class.
Yep. Got it. I want to just reiterate that I urged us to purge everyone that isn't MCU out of this list to make that it would make it a much better list.
Once it goes on the list, it's on the list.
On the list, Kevin. So listen to me here. Baconator, First Class. Pearson, Logan. And X-24 from Logan. Stryker from X-2. Hydra from Captain America Winter Soldier, and then Ultron from Ultron. I'd go number above all those.
I'll put him above Kevin Bacon.
I agree with that. And that was originally where I thought he'd fit, so fucking nailed it.
I do want to give a shout out to Kevin Bacon, though. You know why? Just watched 5 minutes of Tremors last weekend. Love that movie.
Ooh, good for
great
you.
Film. Great film.
Great film.
Might watch it this weekend. We'll see.
Hard to watch on stuff, though.
I don't have edit access.
I think it's on AMC sucks. Right now.
Interesting. Just copy AMC and paste and make a note.
That's what I'm
AMC.
Doing.
Just tweet it at Greg. He'll figure it out.
Can I get your AMC login? Thanks.
I don't have an AMC login.
You should with right. whatever provider you have.
Fair enough. I can look into it.
And now it's time, everybody, to rank the MCU
oh, here we
and those abs, baby. I wish we got some watcher abs for Nick to rank in this.
What if?
So what I'm going to do is we're just going to vote for where we think it is, and then I'm going to read the whole list so everybody knows where we're at. Okay.
Copy that. And that's a smart use of our time here. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nick. So to start off, I'm going to read Greg and Andy's thoughts and let them rank.
Boo. I feel like they should get half a vote.
Andy Cortez says, what if missed a bit more than it hit for me? Jeffrey Wright was fantastic, but unfortunately for me, some bad writing and bad delivery from the other actors outweighed the positives. I put this below Iron Man 3 at number 26. Jesus,
that's way too low. Andy, get over yourself.
Greg Miller says, I would put it at number 19. Because with the exception of Black Widow and First Avenger, this is where I enter my, man, I'm not stoked to rewatch this. What if at its bright spots, give me all the Captain Carter content, and I'm glad I watched it, but I haven't thought much about any of the episodes after they aired. I love when the MCU does the unexpected and makes us debate theories, motives, and decisions after the credits roll. Most of What If episodes felt incomplete, and the fact that anything could happen made for plots that weren't grounded enough to dig into. In the end, What If ends up being just a cartoon. It's one with a lot of our favorite actors and cool ideas, but if this was just airing on Disney XD and wasn't billed as MCU, I doubt I would have made time for it or felt like I was missing much. So yeah, that leads to us. I'm gonna say I'm right there with Andy, number 26 Iron Man 3 and above Hulk. I think that this is one of the weaker MCU projects. Again, yeah. I really, really enjoyed it, but I do think it has more in common with Hulk, Thor, and Thor 2 than it does any of the movies above it.
Interesting. Let me go next. I would put it right above Dark World.
Oh shit.
It did. Yeah, it didn't do much for me, if I'm being honest. And by the end of the season, it really was a drag to watch these episodes. I don't think if we were like, and this is me being completely honest, if we were doing interview, I don't know if we weren't doing interview or you know what I'm saying? I don't know that I would have like continued to watch this season after like the third or fourth episode.
Nick Scarpino, take us home.
I mean, I would obviously I'm going to get outvoted here, but I would put this much higher on the list. I think that this is for me a really fun, like kind of classic style cartoon. And I know that maybe I'm filled with nostalgia here, but I think overall it came together a lot better, in my opinion, than Falcon and Bucky. I didn't love the protagonists or excuse me, the antagonists in that. And I just felt like a lot of that was most of the strength of Sam and Bucky hanging out together. And that just wasn't enough for me for it to be super memorable to me. Although I do love Sam's journey to becoming Captain America, which I think was the sort of the core of that one. But I think this one overall came together better than, honestly, I think it came together better than the majority of the MCU series that we've seen so far, but I can't put it above most of those movies. So I'd probably put it at number 17, right above Falcon and Bucky.
There we go. So that means the new MCU as it stands for the next couple weeks until we return with the Eternals. Number 1, Endgame. Number 2, Infinity War. Number 3, Homecoming. Number 4, Civil War. Number 5, Ragnarok. Number 6, Winter Soldier. Number 7, Guardians 2. Number 8, Loki. Number 9, WandaVision. Number 10, Avengers. Number 11, Guardians 1. Number 12, Shang-Chi. Number 13, Iron Man. Number 14, Far From Home. Number 15, Black Panther. Number 16, Doctor Strange. Number 17, we got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I was going to make fun of you, Kevin. I decided not to do it. So there you go. That's yours for the day. Number 17, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Number 18, Captain Marvel. Number 19, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Number 20, Ant-Man. Number 21, Black Widow. Number 22, Iron Man 2. Number 23, Age of Ultron. Number 24, First Avenger. Number 25, Iron Man 3. Number 26, give it to me one last time, Nick.
What? And question mark?
Number 26, What If. Number 27, Hulk. Number 28, Thor. And number 29, Thor 2, The Dark World. Like I said earlier, we're going to return later this week with a Spider-Man 1 rewatch. Very excited to hang out with you guys, talk about that again. And then next week, we'll be back with Ghostbusters and Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho. And remember, if you like other movies that we're not doing in review for, we're just doing reviews, that is where you want to go to Kind of Funny Screencast for. We got Dune coming up this week, and then we got a whole bunch of other stuff too. And as we move into 2022, there's going to be a whole bunch of TV shows we're doing, because right now we do the weekly reactions to all of the MCU stuff, but we got DC's Peacemaker coming. When The Boys comes back, we're going to be doing it. Invincible Season 2 at some point. It's about to get crazy. You're definitely going to want to be subscribed to youtube.com/kindoffunny and the Kind of Funny Screencast and Kind of Funny in Review podcast feeds. Please drop what you're doing right now. If you've made it this far in the show and you are not subscribed to any of those things, please just do it. Just do it for me. Do it for Kevin. We'll beg. It for Cecil.
I'm not ashamed of it. I'll beg. Mm-hmm. Please, God, do it. Please.